Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 3rd, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 39. And we are going to read a portion of paragraph 2, 13 sentences. It begins with, Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm, and ends with, he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. And if you're like me, it counts down 18 lines for those 13 sentences. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Deb E., the 12 Traditions, Mary P. Reading the paragraph today and support would be Penny L.C. and Becca R. And Carla C. will be greeting newcomers and getting sponsor telephone numbers, contact information at the end of the meeting after the recording. And then Leslie W. will give you some announcements of things that are happening here at A Vision for You. So please stay to the very tip top of the hour. You don't want to miss a thing. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Wednesday, November 2nd, 10 a.m., 19590, 19,590. And then this morning we had a meeting already, and that was at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Thursday, November 3rd, 2022. And that share ID number is 19952, 19,952. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I would now like to ask Deb E. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everybody. These are the 12 steps, and my name is Deb E., and I am a compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I will pass. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you so much, Debbie from Montana. Appreciate that. I will now ask Mary P. from Texas to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary P. from Texas. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Take care, please, to only use the star 1 key function for muting, please. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 39. We're going to look at paragraph 2 and divide that up a bit. We're going to read the first 13 sentences of that chapter, that paragraph 2, which begins with Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm and ends with he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. If you would like, just count down 18 lines, and that would be the chunk that we're going to take apart today. I would like to ask Penny L.C. to open us up by reading that particular portion of that paragraph and then sharing on her experience and how she applies it to her recovery each day. Then we will open up to the general fellowship here to be able to share on it as well. So look forward to having that. Good morning, Penny L.C. Thank you for getting us started.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm. His income is good, he has a fine home, is happily married, and the father of promising children of college age. He has so attractive a personality that he makes friends with everyone. If ever there was a successful businessman, it is Fred. To all appearance, he is stable, well-balanced, He is a stable, well-balanced individual, yet he is alcoholic. We first saw Fred about a year ago in a hospital where he had gone to recover from a bad case of jitters. It was his first experience of this kind, and he was much ashamed of it. Far from admitting he was alcoholic, he told himself he came to the hospital to rest his nerves. The doctor intimated strongly that he might be worse than he realized. For a few days, he was depressed about his condition. He made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. It never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so, in spite of his character and standing. And how do I relate with Fred? Well, I can relate on the sense of pridefulness. I felt everyone else was the problem. I felt I had it together. And yes, appearance was everything. I worked really hard at living behind that plastic face and acting as if my life was just fine by all appearances. And yet, the truth was that I was an addict, even though at first I was in complete denial. I mean, after all, I came from, an upbringing of three addicts, two alcoholics and a drug addict. So, of course, I told myself I was fine, since I wasn't one of them. Even after I came to OA meetings, I continued to point to how I wasn't as bad as the compulsive overeaters there at that meeting. My arrogance had me reading the big book and only seeing the alcoholics in my life in those pages, along with an assurance that I did not even need to read the chapter We Agnostics because of, I knew I believed in God. Boy, oh boy, my ego-driven mind and will continued to convince me that I could figure out a solution, even after I had some head knowledge about my disease. My self-centeredness, it allowed me to continue my compulsive overeating, mixed with attempts to follow a food plan and use some of the tools, some of the program tools, some of the time. The good news, bad news, was that my disease progressed until I was willing to completely surrender, to completely see my truth, and to know that I needed a power greater than myself. And what a gift. And therein lies the rest of the story. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny LC from Washington State, for getting us started. I'd like to open up the lines now for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 39 of the big book, for those first 13 sentences. If you're interested, please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state. And although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well, since we have been blessed with so many people on the line. So I'm ready to take some names.
Robin B.
I heard Robin P. Yeah. I think.
Kristen.
Wendy B.
Wendy B. Maybe.
Becca R.
Okay.
Kristen.
Becca
Bruce
R.
B.
I got you, Kristen. I got Bruce.
Oh, sorry.
Is that it for this lineup? All right. So we're looking at Robin P., Kristen, Wendy B., Becca R., and Bruce E. Let's start off with Robin P. first for 3 minutes, followed by Kristen. Hey.
Hey, thanks so much, Melanie. Thank you for your service and everyone who does service on this meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Split, Croatia for the next few days, and just came from Bosnia. And very, very grateful. Went to Medjugorje and meditated and prayed for a couple of days. And it was just such a miracle of grace and recovery to be there with all those people on a pilgrimage. It's just amazing. None of it was planned by me. We meticulously planned our schedule, and that was not it. But it was God. Regarding what we just read, I hit bottom so many times, and I thought, that's got to be my bottom. Oh, no, that's my bottom. Oh, no, that's my bottom. and just over and over, and self-knowledge availed me nothing. I'm eternally grateful for a vision for you and for my abstinence one day to Simon. You know, I've always heard that pray for potatoes and dig with a hoe. You know, I get to keep showing up abstinently every day and taking care of my abstinence. And when we get to a new town every 3 or 4 days, we go to the store. I'm a gluten-free vegan and I'm organic. And in some of these places, you know, just keep doing my best. And God always takes care of me every single time. I just get to keep participating in my own recovery. And I'm so grateful. I'm sending you all so much love. God bless you all. Thank you all for my recovery today. And I'm sending you all a big hug. Thank you, Melanie. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. From Lake Croatia. Next up is Kristen. Is that Kristen H?
Yes, Kristen. Okay. Thanks. I'm Kristen. And I just joined this meeting yesterday, and the first thing I want to say is thank you to everybody who reached out and left me lovely, welcoming voicemails. And I wasn't able to return them because I was at work, but they certainly meant a lot to me. So I really, really appreciated the warm welcome. It was lovely. And I was having a down day yesterday, so they really lifted my spirits. I love this reading, and I'll just say that I've had different layers of denial about how sick I am. And so this spoke to me, you know, that this person kind of had excuses for being an alcoholic and being in denial about actually being an alcoholic. You know, the person's thinking that he just needs a little rest to rest his nerves. And so I also have implemented every excuse in the world rather than just saying, you know, I'm sick with an eating disorder. And mine started quite young, as many people's have. I mean, it was full-blown. I was full-blown sick by the time I was 12. But it was rearing its ugly head well before I was 12 years old. And I'm just grateful that I finally found the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, and have been on a healing trajectory since. And part of that healing trajectory has been the painful realizations that I'm sick and I need help from a higher power, that my issues are not this, that, or the other. It's just flat out, you know, I have compulsive eating disorders. So thanks for letting me share. And again, I just appreciate all the lovely outreach.
Thank you, Kristen H. Welcome. Wendy B., you're up next, followed by Becca R. Good morning to you.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I love this section on Fred. You know, he was successful. You know, he had a good income, a fine home, a happy marriage, promising children, you know, attractive personality, friends. You know, he wasn't experiencing the consequences of irresponsible choices yet. You know, he was holding it together. You know, he had a lot of confidence in his abilities. You know, they served him well so far. You know, others thought well of him. They thought he had it all together. You know, he was admired. You know, he wanted to trust his success, you know, but he had this one, you know, nagging out of control area, you know, and he wanted to deny that it was a problem, you know, but being in the hospital, you know, and being told by the doctor that he might be worse off than he realized, you know, was humiliating. You know, he was being approached by real alcoholics who were gutter drunk, you know, and that was embarrassing, you know, and he wasn't like them. You know, he could handle his liquor. He didn't have the problems, you know, that they had. He just needed to moderate, you know, to learn to limit his intakes, you know, so he didn't get out of control. You know, he didn't need help, you know, and he had a lot going for him, and he didn't want to risk losing it. He didn't want to look weak or like a failure, you know, to his peers or his family. You know, and he could lick this weakness with more self-control and willpower, you know, just like he did everything else. And this story just gives me a lot of hope, you know, that we don't all have to hit a really low bottom, you know, before we're willing to accept help. You know, we can get out of the denial, you know, just like he eventually does. You know, we can see that the path we were on, you know, where it was leading, and decide we don't want to go all the way down. You know, we can surrender right where we are. You know, and it took me longer, you know, to surrender my self-sufficiency than someone with a low bottom, you know, but I eventually was able to see, you know, I needed God's help in every area of my life, you know, that my good behavior and, you know, my self-righteousness and everything, it just was not good enough, that I needed God in everything. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. Thank you. Hey, before I call up Becca R., I'd like to let folks know that I'm going to open up the lines in about 6 minutes for folks to share on paragraph two, or portion of paragraph two on page 39 of the Big Book, chapter more about alcoholism. We're going to take apart the first 13 sentences, starting with Fred is a partner in, and ends with he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. That's 13 sentences, but if you're like me, count down 18 lines, and that should cover the section that we are studying today. If you could focus your comments on that particular section, that would be very helpful. Becca R., you're up next for sharing for 3 minutes, followed by Bruce E., before I open up the lines. Good morning, Becca.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for calling on me. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. Yeah, I can just so identify with, from the outside looking in, everything looked okay. Like so many of us, my disease was in my head, and I was even often in a normal body size. My peers would look at me and maybe make positive comments on my body, but I had this distorted perception and delusion, and I like to describe it as a constant math equation. If I do this, I can have that. If I skip this, I can have more of that. If I exercise this long, and it just was constant, the noise in my head. I remember coming to OA and hearing people talk about their programs of recovery as being three meals a day and life in between, and I didn't understand that. But today, as a recovered woman, I do, because my disease wasn't just about the physical act of eating the food, but there was so much tied up in that mental rat race around food and body image and getting rid of food and obtaining food. The depths that I would go to participate in my binging and purging and over-exercising. But in my head, I kept telling myself, like, I'm this normal body weight. I can't have this thing. I don't look like someone obese. I don't look like someone anorexic. However, when I came into the program and I read about the hopelessness of mind and body, I could so identify. And I've also heard people talk about just the effects of this disease in like a cellular level. And even though maybe I did have a normal body weight, the intense cortisol and adrenaline that was constantly being sought after and released in this like ups and downs of diet mentality and restricting and over-exercising. I feel like that took its toll on me. I'm so grateful to be here and to identify in today and to see, yes, I have this thing, and to shout the good news to other people who might be living in a normal body size, but suffering from this delusional thinking that just consumes us, because there is hope and there is a solution. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Becca R. from Kentucky. Next up, Bruce E. from Florida, before we open up the lines again for additional folks to comment. So get prepared, 3 minutes. Hey, good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. Bruce E. recovered in Florida. Far from admitting he was an alcoholic, he told himself he came to the hospital to rest his nerves. So he wasn't very honest there. So he came there for alcoholism. They said the rest is nerves. The doctor said that he might be worse than he realized. For a few days, he was depressed about his condition. Well, that sounds like me. I identify with Fred quite a bit here. I was depressed. Every time I had a binge, I'd be depressed afterwards. But I would go into denial. I can do better next time. You know, I'll do better. I'll do better. So then he makes up his mind to quit drinking altogether. So I was trying to think of how many times I made up my mind to quit overeating, compulsive eating, time and again over a 30-year period, close to a 30-year period. I made up my mind to quit. And I would quit for a while, you know, a few days, a week or two or whatever. And then I'd be back after it again. So what was my problem over all those years? Well, I had actually gotten to the point where I thought that that's the way I was going to live. You know, have a binge or overeat for a while and then quit for a period of time and then go back to it. So I pretty much made up my mind that's where I was going to be. I'll live with that. You know, I can live with that. You know, it's not as bad as it could be. I'll live with it. So I got into vision and found out that's different. What was my problem for so long was that I was eating the binge foods, eating the alcoholic foods, you know, the lookalikes and the sugar-free stuff and all that. Yeah, I was eating all that. So I had to make a choice to give up all of that. And things got better as I worked step, read the big book with the sponsor. Things got a whole lot better. Finally got recovered. So this disease is hideous, though, because it can draw me back into it anytime. And I can start falling back into it very quickly and very easily, just like alcohol must be. And it's just a mind-baffling thing that I can't quit on my own. I have to have you guys and a power greater than myself in order to pull this thing off. And then it's not me doing it. It's God that does it. You know, it's not me.
That would be time.
So I appreciate that. Thanks, Melanie. And I pass.
Thanks, Bruce. That's Bruce E. from Florida. Okay, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 2, 13 sentences, page 39. And if you haven't shared since Friday or Monday last, today would be a day for you. We ask that everybody share every third day. I'd like to take your first name, first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state.
Linnea B., Minnesota.
Hey, Linnea B., gotcha.
Liz A., California.
Holly L., from where?
Maryland.
Gotcha. Got it. Thank you.
Deb E. from Montana.
Hey, Deb. Thanks. Room for two more. Okay, we won't burn any more time. Let's go with Linnea B., then Liz A. Hey, good morning, Linnea. Star one, please.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Linnea B. in Minnesota, a compulsive overeater in the process of recovering. Thanks so much, Melanie, and everyone on the line. What an amazing, read. You know, to all appearances, he is a stable, well-balanced individual. You know, I have put so many and have had so many positive, successful, what looks, you know, a well-life, successes, all of that, have had all that, and also walking around with a lot of extra weight on my body. So despite the extra weight on my body, still experiencing the extra weight and everything that goes with it. I mean, since that's the side effect or the symptom, not the problem. But and so all that has done is help elongate the process of reaching complete desperation, you know, of complete surrender. You know, how could I, with all this that I have going on, how could this still be there? Mm-hmm. But this thing, this description, I'm so grateful for this chapter because it just gives us me so many descriptions that I can use to identify whether or not I belong, and I definitely belong. Where he says, the doctor intimated strongly that he might be worse than he realized. For a few days, he was depressed. I have experienced that over and over and over about his condition. He made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. I have over and over and over, and that depression would last a few days, and then would come my magic forgetter. You know, no, I wasn't that bad, or maybe I wasn't even that conscious. I would just strange mental blank spot, you know, and just start all over again. It never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so, in spite of his character and standing, and I would say also ego and denial, etc. I mean, so it's just a great example of denial for me. I definitely belong here. I definitely can relate to this paragraph.
That would be time.
Thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Linnea B. from Minnesota. Next up is Liz A. from California, followed by Holly L. Hey, Liz.
Hi, I'm Liz A. from California. Thank you, Melanie. I am new to A Vision for You. I have been in OA about 3 years and have not been able to maintain any kind of long-term abstinence. So my sponsor suggested I do Vision for You, and so I'm here because I'm following every direction. Anyway, to the paragraph, boy, I really related on a lot of what's going on with him. I was very successful in accounting, had a great income, I still do, fine home, happily married. Everything was perfect, and although I knew that I had some kind of issue with food because I was always trying to control it, I was able to control it for a long, long time, and I could have a bite of sugar, some sugar thing, and put it down, and that was it. And then the pandemic hit, and something happened. And I realized that my disease has progressed to an incredible level. And as much as I tried to say, well, I can go back to being the way I was before, I've reached the point where this crazy moment when you forget everything is happening, and I think I'm going insane. In fact, I am insane. And so I am just hoping I am doing everything that my sponsor tells me to do and have worked the steps and will rework them as much as I have to. I think it's the third step that's getting me, where my arrogance and self-sufficiency is not allowing me to let completely go of all my old ideas. And it never occurred to me that I would be in this place at this time of my life. I'm 65 years old, but here I am with all of you, and I'm so grateful that you're there and can help me along with my God. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. That would be Liz A. from California. Next up is Holly L. from Maryland, followed by Deb E. from Montana. Hi, Holly. Star one, please.
Hi, group. This is Holly. Grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. And I would like to say that I'm very new and I'm not recovered. I'm working on it. I've not been hospitalized for my eating problem, but I can relate with he was much ashamed of it. And I have to say that I became ashamed of myself for other things that I did most recently on the way home from dinner with some friends. I got to take the cake home with me, and it had this real, like, it was very messy. And I was eating it with my fingers because I wanted that so badly. So that was, you know, it made me feel ashamed of myself. Nobody else knew it, and I've not told anyone except for right now I'm admitting it. I believe I've been a sugar addict my whole life. I made up my mind. It says I made up my mind to quit drinking altogether. It never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so. Well, I made up my mind so many times to try to lose weight, and I have been in Weight Watchers, and I haven't been able to lose any weight. And it never occurred to me that perhaps I am, you know, a compulsive overeater. So I'm glad to know now, to have this clarity, that I do have an eating disorder, and that the remedy is a spiritual recovery. So I'm glad I have that realization, and I have this program to help me get through the steps and to hopefully one day become recovered. That's all. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Holly L. from Maryland, for sharing this morning. Next up is Deb E. from Montana, but before I call her up, I'd like folks to know that there's going to be time for probably at least two more shares this morning, and we are focusing on 13 sentences of the second paragraph on page 39. It begins with, Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm, and ends with, in spite of his character and standing. And for those who would like to count it down, it's 18 lines. Hey, Deb E., good morning. Thanks for sharing today. Your time is now.
Good morning. Deb E., recovering compulsive eater in northwestern Montana in the Rocky Mountains. So this whole chapter is a gift to all of us. I know it's been a gift to me because I was a lot like Fred. I was a lot like everybody. And the key thing there is, as a person who is recovering from compulsive overeater, I have decided, not only decided like Fred do, but I've chosen to identify in. And when I think about the line that got to me the most, it's like this thing is he says that he's going to quit. He promises he's going to quit. Then he gets depressed. But for me, it was always that last sentence. It never occurred that perhaps I could not do so in spite of my character and standing. And so this business about looking good on the outside, as was illustrated by our first reader, looking good on the outside, wearing the mask, fitting in, not having a problem, or doing my part in other ways. And then because I had another substance I gave up earlier, going, well, this one's just food. I can't hurt anybody else with this. Oh, the denial. Oh, the arrogance. And I am just so grateful to be with this group, recovering, walking alongside all of you, because as long as I stay with you, that business in OA about staying on the beam, work the steps, provide service, read every day, do the things that are part of this program, I have a pretty good chance of recovery, but I'll never be cured. And I've come to understand never be cured is actually the gift that allows me to have the life between my three meals a day. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you very much, Debbie from Montana. Okay, we're going to open up the lines for at least two more people to comment on that particular paragraph, those 13 lines. like to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state.
Debbie P. from Indiana.
Is that Debbie P. from Indiana?
Yes.
Darcy M. from Nebraska.
Darcy? What was
Darcy
your first initial?
From Nebraska.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's go with those two for now and see what we do with time in the end. Debbie P. first up for 3 minutes and then Darcy. Hey, Debbie. Nice to meet you. You're up.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Indiana. I was listening to all the shares and, you know, I ditto. I can relate to everyone that has shared today. But what I wanted to share was probably pretty similar, but, you know, my denial has been a wonderful friend of mine for many, many years. And though I appeared to be a stable, well-balanced individual with a happy marriage, et cetera, that was just a facade that I played outside of my house. And even inside my house, I pretended that I had a happy marriage to the detriment of my husband. And when I let the denial down, actually, I just kept coming back, honestly, and I kept working the steps and I kept asking questions and I just again, kept coming back. And finally, a question in one of the OA literature books says, am I really happy or am I just getting by? And that just kind of put my brakes on for me. My marriage was far from happy. It was far from, being great. And I just, as long as things were going the way that I wanted, when I wanted, then everything was great. But when my husband needed something, nope, that was not acceptable to me. And that's the same way with jobs. My job was okay, but it wasn't the best. I was not outstanding associate employee. But I did my job while I was complaining the whole time. And so anyway, that denial allowed me to get through, but it also made me miserable because I was denying the truth. And so, you know, I also was a high functioning compulsive eater for the most part. But my emotions, I was miserable in my emotions. I didn't get DUIs from eating donuts, and I didn't, black out from eating, a piece of cake. But I sure had, the chatter between my ears and the weight gain and, everything that goes along with the consequences. And they were so minor, in my opinion, that I kept using that as an excuse to continue eating. See, my life was surrounded by alcoholics and drug addicts. So see, I'm not that bad. And so I could always say that. But that was my ego keeping me in the food.
That's time.
Wonderful. And that's all I have to share. And thank you for your service. I'll pass.
Thank you very much. And that would be Debbie P. from Indiana. Next up is Darcy M. from Nebraska. Welcome. Press star one, please.
This is Darcy. I'm from Nebraska, a compulsive overeater. I don't have much more, much different from what everyone else has said, except that a lot of what has been said is same for me, and it says that I've been struggling lately, and it just has been, just makes me more aware of where I have not been probably as honest with myself as I need to be. Just like Fred was not being honest with himself. Now I have not had to go into the hospital or for jitters or for the DTs or whatever. But the honesty, I play games with myself like he did. So that it makes it harder for you to differentiate between the truth and the false. And it's just the way that the disease has progressed on me, and it just is making it more difficult. And I guess that's basically, I just had to come out and just become more honest with myself and become more honest, more honest publicly. So I will pass with that and say thank you for the group for being here, and I will make a commitment to attend more and listen more, and that's my commitment. So I thank you for all your for you all being here and listening to my comments. Thank you very much. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Darcy M. from Nebraska. Glad that you're here. Hey, it looks like time is going to allow for at least one more 3-minute share. If you'd like to have that, that'll be, get your first name, first initial of your last name.
Cheryl S., Nevada.
You got it. Yep, you got it, Miss Nevada.
Thank you. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada. And the thing that just really struck me, and I've heard it in the last couple people that have shared, is that, you know, I didn't have to go to the hospital for eating disorder. But the truth is, I've been ill in this eating disorder. I recently just spent a couple of months with a medical issue. It was kidney stone, and I got an infection because the kidney stone was too big. Who's to say that that didn't have to do with food the way that I ate? I suffered tremendously with heartburn and joints hurting, and, you know, not able to do the things that I wanted to do, not being able to sleep through the night. And you know what? I could say to myself, well, you know, it's just my age, or it's just that I had a spicy meal last night, or it's just this, or it's just that. But it's very possible that it's, and I would say for sure, that it was the result of my compulsive overeating. And I think that that's one of the cunning, baffling things about this particular form of addiction is, you know, we don't become hospitalized like an alcoholic because they have delirium tremens and they're getting a wet brain and they can't function. And we think, oh, well, it's not bad. Yeah, I've got some heartburn, but that's not a big deal. You know, I'm not that bad. But the truth is, I was that bad. I went to the doctor because of heartburn. And like I said, I was just recently treated in the hospital for a kidney stone. So this has affected my health, and I don't have to be hospitalized like an alcoholic. It just is another form so that I can deny it. And that's it. That's all I have to share. Thank you so much.
Melanie, we can't hear you.
Can't hear you, Melanie.
Star one. Hi. Thanks so much for your help, you guys. That does wrap up this part of our meeting today, the recorded portion of it anyway. We're going to move on to the last 10, 12 minutes, so don't leave. Don't go anywhere. Hang on to your seats as we close up this particular portion. And what I'd like to do is ask Becca R. to please read from page 164 of the Big Book, and then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer, and then we'll move into the last 10 minutes of our meeting. Good morning, Becca. Thanks for doing that.
Hey, Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Be to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.